You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 9.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mindfully Marketing. I'm your host, Kimberly Maska, and today I have an incredibly special treat. Today joining me is Bethany Kelly, my creative director of publishing. And Kelly has been working on all these books for these great authors, and we get a ton of questions about self-publishing and what that means. And so she is joining us today to give you all our information that we have about our self-publishing division. How are you today, Bethany?
I'm well. Thank you, Kimberly. Happy to be here with you.
Fantastic. So here we are. We're going to impart as much knowledge as we can to our listeners, because we both know that's the big question is about. Everyone has a book burning inside, and how do we do it, and what's the process? So let's start with, so who is a good candidate for being an author? Who are you seeing as the best candidate?
You know, there's a lot of people that have a great story in them. People that I see that do really well as when they become an author, specifically as self-published author, are people who have an established body of work that they have been working through or that they are teaching, somebody who knows something, has something to say, or has a story to tell. It might be their own story, it might be someone else's story. Their story might tie in with a body of knowledge, something that they are an expert at. Really, anyone who's an expert in any subject can write a book.
So are you finding that most authors already have a blog? Does that seem to be that body of work that you say that they're working from?
Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. I think that what's really important is that an author has a platform of some sort, and that could be a blog. A blog is a fabulous platform. It could also be, you know, a large following on YouTube, a large following on Twitter, you know, a big following on Pinterest, or any of these social media avenues that we have available to us. Any of them can be a valid and valuable platform from which to launch a book. Now, obviously, authors that have a blog, they have a reader, they have a platform that enjoys reading. So that's a really great thing. Because obviously, if you're writing a book, you want somebody to read it. But you can use and leverage any platform that you have.
Great. And I think we'll touch more in a minute about the platform. But that's an important point we'll hit in a minute. So let's talk about the publishing myth. I love this one, because we both hear people say, well, I want to go get a publisher. But I think we are both of the opinion that self-publishing has more benefits. And so let's talk about that in your opinion of what that is.
Great. I love this question. And I am always championing self-publishing for several reasons. One is that you have the control over your content. And what I think people don't realize is that when they give their book to a publishing house, the publisher then has the final say of their content. I know authors personally who have been very disappointed by what the editor of the publishing house has done to their work, and they are like, well, that isn't really even the book that I wrote. Or it's, they change it and it's not actually what they end up wanting to say. As a self-publisher, you have complete and full control over your content. You can say exactly what you want to say. You can be as outrageous or as conservative. You have that full control there. You also have full artistic control. Some people don't care about this, but every self-publisher should care about how the book looks on the outside, how the book looks on the inside. What is the experience that people are going to have when they pick up your book and open it and start to read it? You have complete control over that artistic experience when you are self-publishing. You also control the money that you get.
That's a big key point. I love that.
It's a big key point. I mean, you're going to be getting royalties that are much higher using any self-published platform than if you were getting royalties from a publishing house. Now, publishing houses, they will often advance authors money. And then the royalties, they expect that the royalties will make up that money. So you might see a little bit more money up front when you publish with a regular publisher, but in the long run, you just have control over the money, and that can be a really great thing. So those are some things that are really great. And, you know, not all publishing houses are equal. Some people care more about certain things than others. You know, I have seen published books from publishing houses that are maybe not some of the bigger names, but some of the smaller names, and they look really bad. So if quality of how it looks and how it is presented is important to you as a self-publisher, you have complete control over all of that.
Yeah. And, you know, I have a few people I've interviewed on the show that have said, you know, they had a publisher and then the same thing happened. They didn't have control of their content. They didn't like it. They didn't like the title. And so they then went ahead and self-published after that. So yeah, it happens for sure. So the process, tell me a little bit about the process. This is your area of expertise. So tell us what someone who's ready to self-publish, what's the process they're going to have to go through?
Okay, so the process, it's a beautiful one. It's also one that usually takes a little more time and ends up being a lot more work than most people anticipate. People think that writing the book, that's the work. And yes, it's an incredibly important part of the work. But once you're done, there's a host of a lot of steps that need to happen between the manuscript being complete and you holding your book in your hand. And I think a lot of people think this sort of somehow magically, automatically happens, and it doesn't. The process is specific and it is important. Every step along the process, you need an editor who's going to edit your book so that it is free from error, so that it flows well, so that the content is organized well, so that people have a great experience when they read your book and they can understand and benefit and assimilate your content. You'll need the cover designed. You want to choose a cover design that is going to be captivating, that is going to be interested. You want a title that is going to be a winner, that's going to make people want to pick up the book. What you have on the back of the cover is also hugely important. You want that to be, again, something that is going to motivate someone to buy the book, pick it up and read it. The interior needs design as well. There are parts of the book that called the front matter and the end matter, pieces that go before the book starts and after the book ends, that make for a very professional looking book. You'll want it proofread after it's designed. There are ISBN numbers to purchase. There's a host of things that happen, checks and steps along the way to create a really good, high quality book. And this is the part where people think, oh, well, I wrote the book and as a self-publisher, I can just publish it now. And when you don't have support on some of the pieces in the process, that's when you get those self-published books that really look like self-published books. You know, have you ever picked out one of those and you're like, oh God, this is... I think that's so sad, because the whole point of being a self-published author is that you have control over the whole process. So I recommend to get support to help you create a really beautiful book, a really well-written book, a book that's not, that doesn't have mistakes in it, that you're going to be really proud of forever.
Yeah. And that's a good point, is that we'll look at it the other way. What self-publishing doesn't mean, right? It doesn't mean you're sitting and doing it all on your own. It right. just means you've got a team of experts still, but they're not in control like a traditional publisher.
Exactly.
So being a published author, what do you think is the bigger picture for someone? What can they expect once they're a published author?
Well, the main thing that it does for you is increase your credibility and your visibility. To be able to put author at the as one of your credentials, as one of the things that you have done, works tremendously to your advantage in terms of credibility. Not everyone is an author. It's actually a lot of work to become an author, to write a book and to publish a great book. So when you join the ranks of authors, you are one of a smaller group of people. Not only are you an expert, but you have actually taken your expertise and distilled it into the written form in a book in a way that you can distribute that information to so many more people. In terms of credibility, people have said that it's the best business card around. In terms of being able to get speaking engagements or interviews or to expand the scope of your business or your reach, it's huge. It also gives you more visibility. You're going to get people having a small experience of you, hearing some of your story, getting a taste of your work at sort of a very low price point, and that will whet their appetite. It will connect people to you, and it will expand your circle of influence. So it can be a tremendous, terrific tool in your arsenal.
Perfect. So here's the chicken and the egg question. So we've talked a little bit, touched upon the personal platform creation. So what, in your opinion, comes first? So is it the book that comes first, or is it the personal platform creation? Or maybe it's both, and maybe it just depends on what the goal is.
Well, either way, yeah, the goal is to have a platform. As an author, you need a platform. You need a large platform, and you need a developed platform to really sell your book. Now, if you're just needing a book for credibility, then you might be able to get away with doing the book first and then building the platform. I've seen people do it. Important thing that you should be thinking about from the second you decide to write a book is, how am I going to build my platform, and how am I going to communicate effectively with this platform? And that's a lot what you do, Kimberly, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's the whole goal, is to create the whole piece. And what I'll do here is I'm going to define real quick what platform is, in case someone hasn't been over to my website to see what the whole process is. But one thing that we have to remember, even if you go with a traditional publisher, they're not doing your marketing for you. So you still need to have a platform. And I look at a platform as everything from your social media, from everything from Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all of those beautiful social media sites, in addition to potentially having a podcast. So it all ties into the book, speaking engagements. You have to look at it as a full picture so that you know that you have people following you on all levels. And that is so important, so that you have someone to sell your book to, essentially.
Exactly. And let me just highlight one thing that you just said there, Kimberly, about how even if you publish with a traditional publisher, you still need to do your own marketing. I think people don't realize this. They think that if they get their book picked up by a publisher, the publisher is going to handle the marketing. And nothing could be further from the truth. If you get one of the really big five publishers, they probably will have an arm that handles some of the marketing. But the majority of people that publish with traditional publishers do not have marketing as part of the service that they get. And people confuse marketing with distribution. What a publisher does is they distribute for you. They will typically distribute into bookstores, but that doesn't mean that they're going to market you. You may get into a bookstore, but if nobody knows about you and nobody has heard about you from Adam, nobody's going to buy your book. So what an author has to realize from the beginning, from the very moment that they decide to write the book, is they have to start marketing their book. They have to start promoting their book from the very beginning, and they are going to throughout. You might get the help of a publicist. You could hire a publicist. They could certainly help. But the publisher's job is to create the book and distribute it. The author's job is to promote and market the book. And this principle exists whether you are self-publishing or publishing traditionally. So I'm sorry, I got on a high horse about that. I just think it's really important for people to understand this distinction.
So true. And, you know, and I'll say this to you, maybe someone is really has their heart set on being published through a large publishing house. So I'll say this, that if you can do your marketing ahead of time and build your platform and maybe do your first book and self-publish, and then you have a big platform, then you'll get noticed, and then maybe a big publisher will pick you up. But that platform still needs to be there for them to find you.
Absolutely. And the fact is that for anyone who is going to be an author and is looking to be picked up by a traditional publisher, one of the most important things that a traditional publisher looks at is the size and quality of their existing platform. And that will determine whether or not they'll get picked up. So no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you need that platform.
Yes, so key. Absolutely. It's marketing yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
So you briefly touched upon titling your book, and I want to throw out kind of a fun tip for people. I think one thing that happens as authors is we get really tight to what our content is, which is great, but a title, that's the thing that's going to make them pick up the book, right?
Yep, absolutely. And can I just say a couple of things before you give the tip? A couple of things about titles. Titles need to be short, punchy, snappy, and to the point. One of the biggest in a self-published book is an extremely long title. A title should be between 2 and 5 words. A subtitle can be longer. The subtitle can be descriptive, more descriptive about the title. But the title should be short and punchy. A one-word title is brilliant. A two-word title is better. 3 words is okay. 4 words is fine. 5 words is as long as it should ever be. So you want to actually find a title that's going to be a winner. And that usually means coming up with something clever and short.
Nice. That's a fantastic tip. I love that. So I think it's so good because that's a challenge trying to convey what you mean in 2 words or 1.
It is. And that's one of the things that I help help people with is come up with that winning title. And a lot of times what people have for the title ends up being a great subtitle, and we find something else for the title.
Gotcha. Great. Well, here's a little tip. So if someone isn't working with some fantastic creative director like you, and they're trying to come up with their own title, here's just a little tip. Come up with 10, because you don't really know what people are gonna bite on. And then run a Facebook ad, one for each title, and see which one gets the most hits. And that's just an easy way, not too expensive way, to get an interesting opinion across the board from people that you don't know, because everyone you know is gonna love your titles no matter what. So that's why you can get out to the masses and do a quick test. So Facebook will come in very handy for that.
One thing that's really important, whether it's in querying people on Facebook ads or getting input on your book, you want to get input from the people that you are writing the book for. And I noticed that a lot of authors, they don't think about this until they're finished with the book. And this is actually one of the most important things to think about at the onset when you have the idea for the book. Whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction or a children's book or whatever, you need to know who the book is for. Who is the audience? Who's reading this book? Who are these people, and what is the problem that they have that this book is going to solve, or what are they going to know when they're done with this book? And people don't think about that ahead of time, but it's really important. And if you can identify who the people are, and you should be able to identify this in the process of writing the book, then these are the kind of people that can give you fantastic input and information about things like your title, your subtitle, the look of the cover, because they're actually going to be the people who you want to read the book, who you want to buy the book, and who are going to most benefit from the book. So knowing who your market is, knowing who you are writing this book for, who your audience is crucial.
And that is so key. And even, and I'll say this, since most of the listeners here are in the mind, body, spirit area, and we are all part of the law of attraction, but we also have to remember we are entrepreneurs. So we are mind, body, spirit entrepreneurs, and we have two goals. The goal is to get out our information to everybody so that we can improve their lives, but also to have that energy of money, the coming in and going back out so we can help more people. And we can't do that if we're not marketing. So that's such a great point to, when you start the book or you start your coaching program or whatever it is, you have to know who that avatar is on the other side.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to touch real quick upon audiobooks. So you sing a lot of, what is your opinion? What are you seeing with the audiobooks happening?
Audiobooks are great, especially when they're done well. When you are browsing a book on Amazon and you see that there's a paperback version, a Kindle version, and an audiobook version of the book, I mean, that automatically just screams quality, because someone would not invest the time, the money, and the effort into creating all three unless they knew that their book was really good. So having an audiobook can be great for visibility, great for credibility. It also, if your audience is somebody, people who are more audio listeners, they prefer their information through listening than through reading. It can be a great solution. People can use audiobooks in the car. I would recommend, though, that you again get professional support for creating an audiobook. It's not as simple as it sounds. And, you know, there's pitfalls there and things that you don't know until you start it. Like if you expect to just sit down with your microphone and your laptop and create a high quality audiobook, you're going to be disappointed. It can be a great exercise, in fact, and having you read as an author, read your entire book out loud can be brilliant in terms of finding holes or finding places that changes are needed. And whoever you are, whether you do an audiobook or not, I recommend that every author read their book aloud to themselves. Get support there too, because it expands your range of people that will be exposed to your book, and you want them to have a great experience of it.
Well, I think we've hit all sorts of points that I hope our listeners are taking all this information, and you might have to replay some of this to get the take down some notes. But I think we've imparted the main idea here that you can actually do a better job self-publishing, but it's still a lot of work to get it done.
Yeah, and I think it's important for people to realize that it's going to be an investment of time and money. And, you know, people shouldn't look at writing a book as an immediate cash flow solution. Writing a book is actually going to take money out of your bank account, because you're going to need to get support for things that you don't know how to do or you shouldn't do as the author, like editors, designers, you know, for cover design, interior design, things like that. At the minimum, it will drain money out of your bank account, and you can do it. You can do it easily, or you can do it with more difficulty. You can be very supported or not so supported, but however you cut it, writing a book is going to take time and energy, and it will cost money. So you need to have a long-term plan for how this book is going to be generating opportunities for you or money for you, sales for you. It needs to do something bigger than just exist. You don't want to be disappointed as an author. You want to actually put it out there and know exactly why you're writing this book and what you are trying to achieve with this book.
Right. So we should make sure that everybody thinks about it as a piece of that personal platform creation.
That's right.
Not the whole thing.
That's right. And a very effective piece. But it is just a piece.
Right. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time, Bethany. This has been fantastic. And if any of our listeners have more questions, feel free to hop on over to my website at www.kimberlymaska.com. And Bethany and I will answer your questions and hopefully be able to assist you in any way that we can. So until next time, be inspired, be passionate, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you will find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, Be inspired and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.